Right, so there's a lot, there's quite a lot in this, and I've got 10 minutes, so I'm going to kind of rattle through, so apologies if some of that is skimming the surface. There's two elements to the world of apps and getting essentially, you know, what's this all about? It's about getting apps used, being used by the general public to help them manage their conditions and get healthier and remain healthier. You know, that's a key benefit of digital health solutions generally and apps specifically. The challenge with that is, of course, that as a marketplace, it's rapidly grown from, you know, nothing to over 300,000 apps that are now available on the respective app stores. And finding or having any idea about what's a good app and a bad app is very difficult. And that's a problem that has a really practical implication when you're trying to get them involved and disseminated into your populations to support whatever challenges you've got. Because from a clinical perspective or a healthcare professional's perspective, what's the basis of making a recommendation? And also for end users, how do they know whether one app's good or bad? So that was that's kind of the backdrop to the accreditation challenge that apps pose. And it's a challenge that is particularly acute in this environment versus, say, traditional software solutions or pharmaceutical solutions, simply because of the sheer scale and the rate of growth of these solutions, and also the rate of change, because good practice within the world of apps is to update your app every 3 months or so. And those updates could be minor, or they could be made, you know, very significant, and you could shift an app from being a basic information provider to something that's actually shifting in the direction of a medical device in that time frame. So keeping track of all that's a real challenge. The NHS nationally have been wrestling with this for a couple of years. Many of you might have known. Jeremy Hunt, I think, was it yesterday or the day before, re-announced that there will be an NHS app library. It's the same announcement he made a year ago. And that's coming next year, apparently. So it was coming this year, now it's coming next year. Now, to be fair, NHS Digital, who were thrown that particular hospital pass last year, have been wrestling with it for the whole of this intervening period, and we work very closely with them. And they've started a process, and some of you may be aware of it, around sort of a self-assessment questionnaire. I think what they realised through that process is that the scale is a real challenge to them, and what they need is a better way of filtering and getting to a point where there's a smaller number of apps that they submit to a more detailed set of assessments, more equivalent to something like the NICE technology assessment process. So NHS Digital are on the journey around accreditation, and it looks like you know, they're sort of heading in the direction of a staged process. And of course, that's where we started. We started with the idea that you have a baseline process that captures every app that's available. You filter out apps that are inappropriate for various different reasons, non-English language being one example of that, in a predominantly English-speaking jurisdiction, apps that are out of date. And then you subject those what comes through that filter to a relatively quick baseline assessment, so you can start to get some degree of ordering of the apps. From that point onwards, you can layer on lots and lots of different layers of assessment, all the way up to a full-scale clinical trial, if that was appropriate. So that's kind of where they're heading towards. What we're also seeing, however, is inevitably in this space, local variants already emerging. So, for example, we work closely with Alder Hey Children's Hospital, and particularly working with the CAMS team. And one of the things that we're sort of inevitably moving towards is that whilst, you know, when we deploy a microsite, they can get visibility of all of the available autism apps and all the available apps to support anxiety, stress or depression. In the end, as they become more familiar with these, the clinicians are aspiring to say, every time there's a diagnosis of autism, I want to recommend that app. But I want that to be systematized in a way that means that if another app comes on that's better, I know about it. If that app changes, which inevitably will be, if it's a good app, it'll change. I want to know that the change is a good thing. And that means that you'll have a bunch of apps that will have the Alder Hey CAMS team badge of approval, whether or not those same apps have got an NHS accreditation, or in fact whether the NHS accreditation is caught up with what's happening locally. And the same will be true at Leeds you know, Leeds Children's Hospital, and all of these different providers, as people want to wrestle with and narrow down good solutions that they can incorporate into their pathways. So we're seeing that there is inevitably going to be a multiplicity of accreditation and endorsement across there, whether it's at a local individual level, whether it's at a geographical level, because CCGX says we want to incorporate diabetes apps in our pathway, and they go through a process to do that. And almost the NHS accreditation process is slightly in danger of being left behind by that inevitable, localism, which we know exists in many, many guises. So that's kind of where we are currently at with the accreditation process. From an Orca perspective, as I said, we take the approach uniquely internationally, actually, that you have to start with everything, you filter it down, you then go through a baseline assessment, and then you put layers of more detailed assessment on top of that. So our new assessment, we've redone our review tool, and we've reassessed every app that was on the previous site, and that's added layers in that respond to emerging trends. So work we're doing with the Innovation Agency, for example, around interoperability. We now ask questions about authentication and whether an app has an authentication methodology, whether it takes somebody on a consent journey as opposed to simply having a privacy policy. And these are the emerging standards that are going to change all the time. And you have to have a responsive review methodology that you can constantly update to reflect those emerging standards, whether they're local, national or international. So that's half of the process. But the second half of the process is, it's all very well reviewing apps and accrediting apps, or finding, or scoring apps and providing that kind of baseline. But how do you get it out there into the public domain? And that's really, as much a part of what we're all about as the first bit. The first bit is a means to an end, because we discovered that actually, if you search for diabetes apps on the App Store, you might get 15 or 20. There's over 3,000 apps available. The question is, where have Apple put all the rest of them? And the answer is, it's hidden behind the algorithms that are designed for something completely different and not for health-related app distribution. So the first part of our journey was, we need to just allow people to find all those diabetes apps. But if you could find 3,000 diabetes apps, that's sort of going to overwhelm you. What's the point of that? So you needed to have them ordered and structured in a particular way, hence the review and the accreditation methodology. But simply putting a website out there doesn't mean everybody will turn up to it. We've discovered this, but we kind of knew that anyway. So our method was always that you had to work with the trusted brands in this space, and there's no more trusted brand than the NHS. So NHS organisations would be the gatekeepers to this and would direct their populations to using these sorts of solutions. And that's why we developed the concept of microsites, which are deployed in Lancashire, soon to be deployed in Bolton, Salford, Bradford, East Riding, Scotland. I could list a few more, Alderhay, for example. And what that is about is targeting a population with specific digital solutions and different activation techniques. So in Alderhay, it's about targeting the referred population to the CAMS team. So that's about stuff as simple as putting in the referral letter, check out this site and find apps that might support you. In Lancashire, it's about targeting the population at large around long-term conditions. But the most important element of all of that, and we also have discovered this, that actually sticking a Find Apps link on your average NHS website also doesn't generate very much by way of interest. So we've done that, and we've discovered that if you're on something like 15 or 20 websites in Lancashire, you get about 200 users a month coming through from that referral channel. So it's just that isn't a good dissemination method. We've done Facebook campaigns. That's a very effective method, but obviously costs money. So, for every £500, you get 2,000 or 3,000 users visiting the site. So that's quite a good activation method, but your drop-off rate's quite significant, because it's like a cold calling exercise in a way. By far and away, the most effective dissemination and activation channel is clinical recommendation. And that's why we built, right from the start, the pro account and the ability for clinicians to recommend apps. So what we've really discovered is that if a clinician recommends an app, over 80% of patients respond to that recommendation and will go on to download the app. Now, that doesn't mean they'll use it, but they'll at least go through that process. So it's incredibly effective, way more effective than any other distribution channel. So what we've really wrestled with and worked with the Lancashire team very heavily is how do you activate clinicians? Because that becomes the alternative challenge. We now know how we can activate patients. Now we need to activate the clinical community to think about apps as part of, oh, that was me, time up. So there you go. So I can't shut up now. So that's kind of where we've got to. And really the prescribing solution, I think, has come through, you know, through the 2 years of our evolution, has come through as by far and away the most effective way to get these products out there. And that opens a whole other can of worms about other prescribing solutions that have sort of recently been launched, which have their own challenges. But I think the message for me generally is that that's what we've learned on our journey, that it's the clinicians and the health professionals who are really going to make this work. But the challenge is getting those guys or you guys to think about this as an alternative, genuine alternative therapeutic solution alongside drugs and referrals. I think I'm done.